Amen. I just love how God orchestrates the service, that all the messages go together. Our scripture for this morning is from Luke 6, 37 and 38. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
So before I get started, I want to say a little bit about this picture. It was taken last year. This is on a boat sitting in the Sea of Galilee. And it's a member of our tour we were with at Siona. And she's looking off towards a traditional site where Jesus spoke the words of the scripture today. In fact, you can look as a little bit of a, by her hat, there's a little bit of trees. That's where the Church of the Beatitudes is. So bring this kind of together a little bit, that we have a God who is alive, who was on this earth, and we're here to do honor to his word today. Dear Father, you are a gracious God. You give us so much. We are undeserving of what you do give, Lord. We cannot fathom it. I ask your blessings on this meditation, the lips that say it, and the ears that hear it. Amen. Well, today we're filled with people who judge. If you've ever listened to, like, there's on the media, there's these fashion police, and they're very harsh judging the star, movie stars and performers when they go to award ceremonies or movie premieres or show premieres. They're just vicious. And we've got politicians, right? We hear this all the time. They're judging the other party. They're rebuking them. They're condemning them. Sometimes even their own party. And when disasters happen, people are quick to judge and put blame even before all the facts are in. We don't know. And we are quick, too, to judge. We judge our family. We judge our children, our parents, sometimes our spouse. And as Christians, unfortunately, we have a reputation of judging. Last year, I had an assignment for one of my classes to interview three non-Christians and ask them what they thought of my church, of Christianity. And the first one was a Buddhist, and he was surprised that I wanted to listen to him without judging. I thought, okay, this is, you know, that was just now. But then the second one expressed the same thing. Loosely Christian as a child, but as an adult, no church affiliation, but he was shocked that I wanted to listen to his view without judging. And the third person, a woman, grew up in the church, but the judgment of her mother had turned her so against the church, it was an impediment to her coming back to Jesus today. And that's not all. Even within the church, even within this room, we judge each other. We may feel that people around us act poorly, inappropriately, whatever. We may feel that session or the committees around here don't know what they're doing, making wrong decisions, right? I'm sure no one second-guessed that. We may think that we've been treated poorly. We've been lied to. I see some smiles going on here. So what do? We get upset. We jump to conclusions. Oh, they're just blah, blah, blah. Sounds like a politician, right? We talk about each other behind our backs. It's gossip. Maybe we cut back in our involvement. Cut back maybe in our giving. Kind of we're going to punish people. Maybe we leave. Happens. I'm sure it's happened in the past. I'm sure it's going to happen in the future. Well, after all, doesn't the Bible say God created man and woman, and God said, go forth, judge your fellow human beings, discern their flaws, commit character assassination behind their backs. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. And that's what the verse today talks about, is what does the Bible say? And I want to focus on the first part of this verse. It says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Now, the context of this is, in Luke, is a long passage of 32 verses where Luke is talking to his disciples, people interested in being healed, his followers, just like us here in this room, exactly like us. That picture, again, is where we think that tradition says it happened. So what does it mean to judge? I'm going back to the Greek on this, krino. And the first meaning could be to make a selection. You decide to do something. Probably the larger meanings mean to pass judgment on and, seek influence, especially in the lives and actions of other people. And then there are, of course, other definitions about, the judicial process. But I want to concentrate on these first two meanings this morning. Sometimes to understand a word, we have to look at its opposite. So what is the opposite of judging? As I mentioned, this verse is part of a long string of pericope sayings that, in the Bible. And the one story right before this in Luke is about loving your enemies. And that passage ends in verse 36. It says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Then we go on to, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. So it's interesting that Luke here has made a sandwich around judge. I think maybe this is a contrast Luke is trying to get across to us, that instead of judging, we should be merciful and we should forgive. So let's look at the first definition of judge. So that's where we select. We make a preference. And maybe more judging goes with not selecting, not making a preference. Don't we do that here? We often choose not to associate with someone. Maybe we think they've hurt us, or maybe we just think they're different or weird, or they're not our type of people. That is a type of judging. But instead, what God wants us to do is God wants us to associate with everybody in the community. Because when we unselect someone around us, we may limit what God wants us to see. Maybe that person is there to show, that God's put that person there to show us something. We limit how God may want us to act. Maybe God's going to call us to act in that person's life. And by limiting, we thwart God's action. We certainly don't show the love of Christ, do we? Someone shows up in the church and no one comes up to them. Maybe they're in a time of need. Maybe they've been here, they're part of the church, but no one comes up to them. God could be calling us to minister to that person. We do not show the love of Christ when we don't embrace our entire community. And we certainly don't want God to pretend the same thing with us, right? We don't want God to say that, oh, I don't know you. We have to practice the same thing. The second definition, the more meaty one, that's where we pass judgment on people. Express opinion about, particularly an unfavorable judgment. We criticize, we find fault with, we condemn. I'm guilty of that, sorry to say. We do this at church. We do it at home. We do it at work. We see society do it. And we do it to our families, right? We review people, fortunately more in our family sometimes. We feel free to do that for some reason. We withhold affection, perhaps withhold our presence, you know, step away from them. Sometimes we physically punish them, you know. We're, you know, a little passive-aggressive sometimes, and, you know, we don't treat people fairly. And often, you know, so judgment often results in conflict, and I'd like an easy acronym to remember how to kind of deal with this comes from the three C's from the Duncan Center of Conflict Resolution. And first is communication, that if you are tempted to judge, start by sharing information. You know, that's certainly better than being silent, right? And by sharing with another person, we enter into conversation. And if you're in a friend and something you think there's something wrong, you give them the benefit of the doubt. Then you go talk to them and say, oh, I thought this, and you said that. Give them a chance to reply. Give them a chance to share their side. And you can share your side, and things can come together. And you can respect that community. You're not destroying the community. You're not putting an impediment to the community. But you're building up the community of your family, of this church, of the kingdom of God. So when you're tempted to judge negatively, we can follow Jesus' example. In John chapter 8, Jesus was being judged by the Pharisees. They were being kind of harsh on him. And Jesus replied, "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." We don't see Jesus judging in the scripture and when he's walking around the earth, dealing with people. He doesn't say, "You're out. You're in," meets people where they are, in their sin, in what they've done wrong. He gives them mercy. He forgives them. He does not judge. In fact, he removes stumbling blocks from people. Paul talks about this too in Romans 14. He says, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or any obstacle in the way of a brother or sister." Because judging isn't just about you. Judging can affect that other person too. Your judgment, your harsh words, your inaction can cause a stumbling block to them. So it's not just about you. It's about us all. It's about all of us. And Paul's solution, he says, instead, in Colossians 3, he says, "Bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." That's what God wants us to see. That's the way God wants us to be. Merciful, forgiving, bound together in love. That's the message. That's the gracious God that we have. That's the love that those in recovery needed, as Bruce talked about. Not judgment, but that love. So share a couple examples from my life. Is Doug Gipps here? I'm going to talk about him. No, I don't see him. Anyway, you know, Doug's new chair of finance, and he's making some changes, and he made one change, and I thought, oh, why is he doing that? Doesn't he know how things always work? But I talked to him about it. I went up and say, "Okay, Doug, this is what you want us to do. Why are you doing that?" He explained his reasons, and I said, "But, you know, we've always done it this other way." And I kind of explained that and why, oh, what he was doing wasn't going to matter, but I listened to his examples and, gosh darn, he was right. You know, it was the right way to do it. So I communicated. I went into conversation with him. You know, and even if I would have disagreed with him, to some level I still have to respect the community that we're in. I mean, he can have good reasons. I may disagree with him, but is that more important? You know, is sabotaging that idea worth sabotaging the community that we're in? I can think of very few things that would, you know, go across that bar. Just about nothing. In the past, when I was chair of finance, we would have a number of times I've had some of you come to me and say, why didn't I get my check? I submitted this ages ago. That bookkeeper is sitting on it. I said, well, no, I know the bookkeeper's process. That's not where the problem was. The problem was where someone else. But by talking to me, that person was able to understand more information about the process, where the process was. They didn't just jump to a conclusion that it was this person being the road boulder on this. That's why we need to practice, you know, these three C's. You know, and most of the time I find there is no fault. No one's consciously digging after me or picking on me. It's, you know, it's communication, right? Yeah, but sometimes there is fault. Not to saying it doesn't happen. And again, by judging here, I'm not talking about situations where you are not safe. I'm not talking about where there's a danger. By all means, in cases like that, you know, you have to be wise. You have to do the appropriate thing. But in our everyday interactions, you know, we all know the verse where we're supposed to go with a fellow brother and sister if somebody does something wrong and we're to rebuke them. Now we often forget the second part of that verse. So in Luke, it says, if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you and say, I repent, you must forgive them. That's mercy, isn't it? It's a merciful God that asks us to do that. We're not supposed to count. We're not supposed to hold this against them. Practice mercy. And often we judge ourselves. Not just the people around us. Sometimes we're our own harshest judge that, you know, I should have. I failed here. I failed there. Do not judge applies to ourselves too. We need to extend the same mercy and forgiveness to ourselves that God extends to us. I hope you see the pattern here. The pattern is love. 1 Corinthians 13 says it. You probably know this passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Not a limit of seven. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Communication. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's what our God calls us to do. Love in that regard. So if we are offended, feel the need to judge, we must not. We need to act contrary to the world that we see around us. We must extend mercy, love, forgiveness to those around us, to ourselves. Luke, and then the second part of today's scripture verse, verse 38, I think says this well. So Jesus says, to give grace, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken, together, running over, will be poured into your lap, the measure you use of grace, forgiveness. It will be measured to you. I want to give you a little audiovisual demonstration of this. So, we have a measuring cup. You know, first century Palestine, you'd use this all the time, you know, to go to, you know, go to the market, get stuff. And let's say we've got grace here. So, we pour out, God pours out grace. Grace kind of looks like cornflakes, if you can see it. But so the scripture says, okay, you've got your measure, but don't just measure it. There. You know, shake it. Look, there's room for more grace, isn't there? Not only shake it, press it down. Look how much more room there is for grace, right? But this isn't the grace God gives us. God says, overflowing. This is the God we have. This is the grace God gives to us. This is the grace we too need to give to those around us. Sorry, ensemble, for the mess. So what we need to do, we need to give mercy. Forgive first. Practice patience. Take the time to learn the facts. Engage in conversation. And give grace. Honor the members around us with extravagant grace. That's what we want from God. That's too what God calls us to give. Please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, have mercy on us. Let us not judge, but give grace and mercy instead. Let us build up those around us. If we are wronged, let us forgive 7 times in a day, but still not keep track of the times we've forgiven. Let us be known as a person and a church that does not judge, but instead as somebody who loves and freely gives grace. We can do this because of your grace. Your grace is enough for this. Amen.
You should see this lectern. What a great message, and for all of us. I appreciate Todd's heart and for his calling and for his word to us. Go in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, the counsel, fellowship, encouragement, and empowerment of the Holy Spirit go with you. Remain with you always. Amen.